The Starting Block with Taimoor Nabili, where business meets blockchain on Money FM 89.3.
Hello and welcome to the final episode in this series of The Starting Block on Money FM 89.3. On this series, we've been examining the world of blockchain technology. We've looked at the big picture and at specific individual cases where blockchain is already being implemented. So we'll finish the series with a look at the broader universe of disruptive technology and matters related. My guest today is a man who spent 30 years in the corporate world before getting hooked on startup and cutting-edge deep tech, so he's pretty well positioned to talk about the old world and the new. He is Steve Leonard, founder and CEO of SG Innovate. Steve, thanks for being with us. A quick word on SG Innovate.
Sure, Taimoor. Thanks for having me. SG Innovate was imagined as an entity that would allow academics and scientists of different ages who wanted to build something using their research as the core. So we seek to help them find funding, find talent, find customers, and build what we would call a deep tech startup.
It seems to me that there's a massive asymmetry of information and understanding here. I mean, you talked a moment ago about academics and researchers. These guys speak a language that the average person, the layperson, and even some experienced business people don't really relate to at this point. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it is, but I think if we look at technology, we have broad categories, as you were touching upon. But in essence, we would argue that a lot of the technology and technology startups these days tend to focus on consumer-facing applications. And there's nothing wrong with that because there's an ease of use and making things smoother and simpler, getting a car to move around or buying food online and so on. But when we think about fundamental human problems, the issues around healthcare and resources and energy and public safety, these things are much more difficult to work on, and we would argue much more impactful over the long term for the human race. And that's going to come from a more science-based core. So that's where we need to make sure that the academics and researchers are in the middle of this.
The thing that interests me, though, is how does that become part of the mainstream? Because the academics and the researchers, they do talk a certain kind of a language, and they do come to this from a starting position that is not the same as an average business person. Mm-hmm. As you know, disruption of legacy business is a difficult and long-term problem. How would you approach a legacy business and say you could benefit from new technology in your operations?
Well, I guess just to take a step back, when we think about how this technology that we're working with, some of the men and women with whom we're working, we don't necessarily try and pursue companies and say, this is how you could change your business. I personally come from more of a background of, if a business wants to change and is anxious about what its future looks like and wants to make investments and take risks, that's how businesses either succeed or fail.
Fair point. But, one of the basic presumptions of SG Innovate is that this technology that we're looking at now, this 21st century technology of artificial intelligence, of blockchain technology and things like that, is so sufficiently transformational and disruptive mm-hmm. that if you don't turn around and say, I need to take notice and advantage of this stuff, you're going to be left behind. I mean, we've mm-hmm. seen evidence of that even through the internet technology development.
Absolutely.
A lot of people came to it with this idea of, well, you know, I can take it or leave it, and then found themselves to be in an industry that was dead.
Right. But I would argue that that's been the same throughout history. It's just that the business models are different. The people that decided to make articles of clothing by hand versus those that decided that the loom was going to be a more important way of mechanizing or producing automobiles at scale versus individual men and women building them one by one. So there will always be disruption. And I agree with your point that artificial intelligence, blockchain, and other technologies that are rapidly gaining awareness today will be tremendously disruptive and perhaps at a pace which is different than some other cycles of disruption have been in previous generations. But the core point for me remains the same, which is those leaders that want to pursue and want to lead will search out those opportunities for their companies to participate. And that's where there are plenty of exciting startups, plenty of exciting different areas for people to engage in. And some companies are recalcitrant and would say, it may not affect us, or let's wait for a few more years and see if this thing is a fad. And they will live with whatever the market forces are going to be.
Yeah, no doubt that will happen, because it has happened at every stage in the past with every new technology. Question is, how disruptive do you see these things, this deep tech that SG Innovate specializes in? How much of a change does this represent? But, I mean, put it into historical context, like the internet changed things a lot, but various other technologies did too. So where are we in this curve?
Well, I think no doubt that artificial intelligence, which I know a lot of people are talking about, is already a tremendous force for change. There's already in our daily lives widespread use of what we would generalize as artificially intelligent systems. When we think about parking assist in vehicles, or we think about chatbots when you use your favorite banking online application, are forms of artificial intelligence. There's already facial recognition used widely by different governments around the world as a way of improving public safety. So these are all types of AI. But when we think about it at a business scale, the pace of adoption will increase, and the change in the job market, which I know is a source of anxiety for people, will continue to increase.
I'm talking to Steve Leonard, founder and CEO of SG Innovate, about disruptive technologies. Just to get back to the essential point of whether this stuff is truly transformational and how much we should bring it into it, one of the things that SG Innovate does a lot is educational attempts. Not only do you invest in new ideas, but you're trying to spread the message through a lot of meetups and talks and gatherings at your premises. How important is the process of educating and informing the business sector and the general public in understanding this stuff?
Yeah, I'm of mixed views on this one, Tamor, and here's why. Because on the one hand, we want to educate as many people as we can who already have an interest. So let's start with the supposition that there's generally an interest in learning more, and people generally would like to take responsibility for understanding what these technologies might mean to them. And ideally, they'd like to be a part of creating some of those technologies. Then there's the other side that says, should we not do something as society until we have enough consensus that we're past the sort of proverbial 51%, that until most people say, autonomous vehicles are a great idea, let's use them, please, we shouldn't use them. So I go back and forth, candidly, on wanting more people to embrace and at the same time saying, for those that don't, we cannot delay some of these technologies because the problems are too important to work on. So education, in my own personal bias, is terribly important if you start with the idea that informed people are less anxious about what these technologies are. So let's make sure as many people as possible know. But if someone says, sort of arms folded across the chest, I'm not interested, then I don't want the rest of the progress to be held back.
I'm talking to Steve Leonard, the founder and CEO of SG Innovate. And Steve, I'm interested in that idea about how far and how fast we should push this stuff. Now, we're talking here in terms of individual level of individual businesses and perhaps individual industries. Let's take it up a level and talk about it in terms of broader societal considerations, because the Singapore government is very keen to make sure that this technology is something that they're on top of and that they can use to its best effect. So at what point, tell us a little bit about the involvement of the other sectors outside of business, the regulatory and the legislative sectors that that need to play into this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also a function of the consequence that goes with some of the experimentation. So having lived 30 years in private industry where our focus was how can we make more revenue, more profit, grow our market share, and now having spent 6 years working with Singapore government where I better understand the importance of taking a measured view, I think the reality for regulators is their main job anywhere in the world, to take it off of Singapore per se, but regulators anywhere in the world, their job is to keep things safe, keep things functioning, to avoid consequences of poorly tested devices. Nobody wants to get on an airplane in which there hasn't been a strict regulatory environment ensuring safety. So while we sort of bark about making sure that we're not held back by regulators, at the same time, to give them their due, they have a tough job to make sure that the consequences are not extreme. Medical device regulation is in all of our interest. When we think about fintech, I give a lot of credit to our friends at MAS, because MAS has been deciding for the last several years to embrace innovation very actively, and in fact, to lead on many areas of innovation. So the regulator decided that it could either try and hold back, or it could try and lead. And the MAS, to its credit, has decided to lead. And a lot of regulators around the world look to the Monetary Authority for their views. So from that perspective, I would argue that the regulators have an important role. Data governance has an important role. Rule of law, all these things which we view as sometimes the opposite to technical innovation, are also important for us, because no one wants their data misused, even though we all want lots of targeted things meant just for us. That comes from companies knowing enough about you. When you have targeted advertising or specials on various things you might find of interest, it's because it's a function of the data that they know about you. And we want that. But at the same time, we say, however, don't let any of my data be misused.
Well, that's a tough balance to achieve, isn't it? And clearly, we're nowhere near finding that balance as yet. But join me again tomorrow for part two of this conversation with Steve Leonard, CEO of SG Innovate, and hear what he thinks are the most promising areas of tech transformation in the future. That's on the next episode of The Starting Block.